The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
I'm going to invite Caitlin to come up and sit with me and talk with me for a few moments. This week, Caitlin and I had, a couple of weeks ago, we had a sit-down where we had a really good conversation, and oh my gosh, we talked about all kinds of stuff, as we often do. We talked about college, and we talked about the environment, and we talked about evangelicals, and we talked about politics. There wasn't anything we didn't touch on, even the outdoors. And so last week, we recorded a radio podcast together, and it's going to air this week terrestrially, but it's also on our website after today, so I want you to go and listen to it. But the keen insights and wonderful observations and just testimony from a 20-something who has spent a year off at college and now knows everything, I thought would be really helpful for us to hear. I can also imagine, I've been playing trumpet for years and years and years, and I have played in front of, huge venues, wasn't a problem. When you play in front of your home church, though, that's the scariest thing in the whole world. So what we're going to do now, I don't know whether you're nervous, you might be, but we're going to pray and just ask God's blessing on the conversation first. Is that okay? Let's do that. Lord, we thank you for Caitlin. We have so many wonderful young people in our church. We saw the wonderful ceremony with Karis just the other night. Lord, now we have Caitlin here to talk to for a few minutes about things that make her heart sing. Lord, you remember the time on Christmas Eve that I played and I was so nervous that my horn was shaking and couldn't get out the notes? I pray that you would bring calm to Caitlin now as we have a conversation. It's hard. It's hard to talk in front of your own church folks. So bless the conversation now. Most of all, we just pray that you'd speak through us. That's our hope and desire. So, use this time now for your glory and for the edification of your church. In your name we pray, amen. So, Caitlin, I thought I would just start, like we did on the radio program, by asking you just to say a little something about yourself. There may be folks here who don't know you that well, so just tell us who you are and what makes you tick, just for a minute.
Sure. And yeah, I am a little nervous. That's but you know what? God works through weakness, so this is going to be great. So I am Caitlin, and I'm studying environmental studies and photojournalism at Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff, Arizona. And I love backpacking and fishing and nature journaling and hanging out with my family and kayaking and lots of outdoor stuff in that list. But yeah.
And how old are you?
I'm 22.
And you've just finished your first year of college.
Yeah, so the first year of undergraduate.
Oh, that's right.
Because I spent 3 years at community college here at American
that's
River
right.
up the road, and then I transferred last year.
Right, okay. So we were all sad when you left. You folks who have been here from the beginning remember when she was just a wee one, and we've seen her grow up, but she's changed a lot. And in my view, all kinds of wonderful ways. And one of the things we talked about the other day, which I thought was really interesting, was the world's view of things that have to do with environment and the biblical way of thinking about things that have to do with the environment. But you also had some, I think, interesting insights in the way that sometimes we can get caught up in labels and even make assumptions about what those labels mean or where you stand or even use them to hit one another. Want to talk about that just a little bit?
Yeah, that's definitely something I see being a Christian in any kind of science field, especially environmental sciences and studies. You're in this really weird position where I'm coming at this from a biblical perspective that God created the heavens and the earth, and his fingerprints are throughout all of creation, and it is sacred, and we are obligated to a responsibility to take care of it. And that I'm in this field that is very godless, and where science is God, basically, and that's the answer, or very, It can be very spiritual if it's like a new age kind of the energy of the universe is definitely part of that. But it's an awkward place to be, because when you're a Christian and you're studying in that field, I think my friends and I often come across this where our fellow Christians in our church communities label that as very left-leaning, or that we've gone to the dark side, basically. And then we are out there in our classes, and it's kind of scary to be a Christian in your class, and you have to be discerning of how you talk about that and how you share that, because you're a witness of Christ to people, and how are they going to see him if you're the only one that they come across that day? So they can judge you very harshly and say, well, you believe in just taking everything and treating it as trash, and that this is all for us and we can use as much as we want, and you don't care about the environment. And I'm not any of those things. And so it's a very awkward position.
So let me just make sure we got it straight. You're saying that when folks, and I get this, when folks hear the word environmental or environmentalism, because of the ubiquity of that word and social media news and all of this kind of stuff, people begin to assume that if you're interested in that, then you are therefore of a particular political persuasion. Yeah. Is that, am I getting it right?
Yeah.
And you have godless or have raised science to a place where it doesn't even claim for itself, but that's a whole nother sermon.
Yeah, like, are you really a Christian if you're... That sounds silly to question that, but that is a question. It's like, well, how seriously are you treating your faith? And I like what you said the other day, is what do you mean by that? I think that's a really important question to ask when people are studying something, or I try not to use the word environmentalism, because so many different people over the years have used it and have are a certain way, or who have used it in certain contexts, that I don't trust that everyone has the same interpretation of that. So
yeah, it's become a loaded term.
Yeah. Right. So I try to explain who I am and what I believe and what I'm doing in ways that don't involve buzzwords, but I also think that we should come to a place where we can approach buzzwords with a less charged reaction, and just slow down and kind of ask, what do you mean by that? And give people a chance that they might not mean what you think they mean
that. So let me back up and make sure I'm getting it. Rather than, say, someone from the side of a more progressive or if we can use the term, lefty kind of view of environmentalism, and them thinking that they know what that means, or somebody, say a conservative or orthodox Christian viewpoint, we, instead of assuming that we know what we think that word is, maybe a way to, and then shutting off conversation, which you wouldn't want to see, rather starting by saying, okay, what do you mean when you say environmentalism? Am I getting it right?
Yeah, because I think we're so much more similar than we think, you know, and we spend a lot of time in groups that think like us because it's comfortable, and I think they're like our cloisters, and there's something to be said for building each other up and making sure that we are maintaining our Christian brothers and sisters and our relationships and our values, and not being picked off, you know. But we can't stay there forever, because if the world cannot see Jesus if we are never in it, and if we disengage with them completely.
Yeah, so sorry to interrupt. We've been charged to go into the world to love and serve the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about this, but I don't want to pick your brain for a minute. Is college the wasteland that we've been led to believe that it is?
Like the Christian kids go off and they just waste away and get sucked down and die.
Or
and
all become Wiccans or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is college like, really, at least where you are? Is it a safe place for Christians to be? Do you feel like you're being oppressed or persecuted? What's it like?
It is very much what you make of it. And so I would caution Christians to think that, like, our kids are going off to the world and they're going to be, you know, deluded and corrupted and you know, like, it's not.
That does happen.
It happens, but also it's not just because they went away to college, you know. So
But wait a minute, that's good. What do you mean by that?
I think it has a lot to do with where you're at individually as a person, what your support system is like back home. Who do you have older Christians speaking into your life in a meaningful way? Do you trust them? That's really important. What is your relationship like with God and your family and your friends? All of that has way more to do with it than college. I'm out in a very liberal. I'm in a state college, and it's very uncomfortable.
Is there wacky stuff?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. But I guess I will say, yeah, it is wacky and uncomfortable. I spent the first semester in a lot of my classes learning about how Christian viewpoints have been behind some of the detrimental things to our environment and stuff, which is true, but I also think a lot of stuff was taken out of context, and it was an extremely uncomfortable place to be in when I was learning that, like, basically my faith is responsible for so many problems in the world. So there was a challenge to me to both recognize the truth in what they were saying and recognize where maybe my presence in that classroom could be... to be more nuanced and teach people a little more.
Bless you for being there.
It was hard.
I'm sure it is. It sounds like discernment is really important.
Because there's often a
little bit of truth in something that someone's saying.
Yeah.
The difficult bit is to, I tell my kids, they will complain about what something a boss or someone has said to them, and I'll say, yeah, that was yucky. But the hard part's going to be figuring out if there's any little bits of truth in there that you can use to help grow from it.
And I'll tell you, my reaction, that was a huge issue I dealt with for months in the
fall
semester.
Your Christianity has ruined the planet.
Yeah, like that's very simple. That's simplifying what they were saying, but that is kind of what it felt like sometimes. And a lot of people didn't know I was a Christian, but my reaction was not to listen to what I'm saying right now and love people and be like, oh, you're all just lost. You know what? You need me to be here. You need Christ through me more than anything. I wanted to hole up in my dorm and just be like, I'm not going to talk to anyone, you know, right. But that can't be the end answer. I think we need to go through that process and vent. And I did a lot of venting to trusted friends and family, but I made some really good friends and I am in touch with all those professors. I'm very close with them. I am close to some awesome people that I knew from those classes, and a lot of them know I'm a Christian now because I built that relationship with them. And if I only ended up knowing 4 people from that experience, but they know who I am and I can maintain that and they can see it, that's worth it. That's really important.
Let's camp out a little more in this environmental issue. And one thing that you did really well the other day was to draw a contrast between a worldly or non-biblical view of environment, which in some ways becomes a religion, and the Christianly or biblical set of understandings or framework with which you view the environment. You're taking that with you into what you're doing. They're bringing their, quote, religion into it. What are the distinctives? Can you tell us a little bit about how, quote, each side might view it and how you are applying Christian principles to that study?
Yeah, I think I'll start with the godless side of things. It's really important that we understand as Christians that they're seeking kingdom things without knowing the kingdom.
You need to say it again.
They're seeking kingdom things without knowing the kingdom.
And what do you mean?
And we don't see that. We don't believe that very often. But what's going on is that people who don't know God but are very passionate about the environment have so much compassion for living things and for people living in the world and for people who are suffering from food shortages and droughts and all kinds of things that species are being over-harvested and that
So you're saying that the care and compassion for that really is a kingdom
it
value.
It is yeah. Because God made this place. And there are ways in which we have exploited that and have been trashing it and haven't viewed it that way. And I would say it's not because we're Christians that we do that.
Right.
But so they are seeking this, this compassion and this... care over the planet and over people that have been mistreated by others and by just circumstances. So it's really beautiful, but I think then they're approaching it as science can fix everything. And also, I think sometimes in their quest for compassion, there is a bullying that goes on of other people that it's like, we need to fix this, we need to do this, and this is how it's going to work. And I think strong emotions. It's hurt and frustration at the hurt in the world. But then I think I see a lot of anger at and blame. Anger and blame. So finding places and people to blame for the problems and then being angry at it.
Okay,
and
so that's the godless side.
Yeah.
And then you're coming at it from a biblical worldview. A couple of important distinctives there that color your thinking about this issue.
The earth is sacred. Everything in it, God made it, and he cares about everything. He cares about the gardenias that are outside in this garden. He cares about
is
the
that
birds.
What those are?
The white flowers, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He cares about the birds that nest up in this chapel. He cares about all of us individually sitting in here. He cares about villagers who are, their fisheries are being depleted over in the Philippines. He cares about all of that very deeply.
And when you say that the environment is sacred, is there biblical underpinnings for that?
Yeah.
And what are they?
Yeah. Through him, all things hold together. Creation praises him and sings to him and is a reflection of who he is. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he took time to form each thing that he did. It's beautiful. He did that with such intention. He could have just snapped his fingers and all of it would have been here. But he took the time to enjoy it and celebrate it and walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. All of that, to me, screams that this is important to him. And that I don't think we can fix all the problems that are going on in nature and how people live in the world today. But I think there is imperative biblically for us to care and for us to try.
Yeah, and you mentioned Adam and Eve, and we talked about this in the podcast, but I want you to remember this, that the first place where humankind lived was a temple not made by human hands. So God considers creation a temple not made by human hands. Remember that we're also going to end up there someday in a new heavens and a new earth. But one of the neat little things you can think about is this. When God tells Adam and Eve to guard and tend the garden, those are the same Hebrew words that appear only one other time in the Old Testament. And it is with regard to what the priests are supposed to do. They are to guard and tend the temple, tabernacle. So Adam and Eve were given a priestly duty and a calling to guard and tend the garden. And obviously, it's our creation to look over too. I suppose that's the main distinctive, isn't it? That I've seen bumper stickers before that say, the earth doesn't belong to us, we belong to it. You've seen those kind of earthy, crunchy slogans. The biblical perspective is the earth is the Lord's, and we are stewards of it.
I think that's a distinction I forgot to mention, too, is that in a godless view, a lot of people, and again, not everyone believes the same thing, so I would ask, but a lot of people believe that we are an animal, the same level of nature, and so we are part of it, and then we have no right to go around destroying it and being making such a disproportionate impact on the planet. And I think, again, that's coming from a place of humility. But I believe we are created in God's image, and he put us as stewards. So we have a responsibility. He put us in charge of this stuff. But that's terrifying, you guys. We are to care for it. If you look at Christ and God is calling us to rule and be like him, and if you look at how he rules over creation, it is gentleness and fairness and justice and kindness and love. So we're supposed to be like him. That's how we're supposed to care for things. So that's the distinction, the huge distinction, is responsibility and a mandate for that.
You use the word calling, and we said the other day, you said that you view this as a calling. In our remaining few moments, I want to talk about the church, and not this one in particular, but the church writ large, and evangelicals in particular, though we have to be careful about that label too, don't we? Because evangelicalism these days means about 12 different things. And at least with people your age, the word evangelical has come to be a very bad word and a pejorative. And you said in our conversation the other day, you're not even sure the church even knows that yet. So I want to get some of your observations in our remaining moments about what it's like to be a church kid, Christian kid, and you've gone off to college, you've grown a lot in grace and beauty, by the way, as well as knowledge, and we're all very, very proud of you. You come back from this godless wasteland, at least in our mind, you know, it's this big, you know, monolith, and you have some observations about how the church should care for, protect, love, as we have you, kids, and how the church is. Do you want to talk about that just a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. It's a weird place to be growing up in the church and then going off to college, because people knew you growing up when you were a safe little kid, and then you've gone off and you're gone a lot, and then if you do come back, I have felt like it can be weird that people don't know you anymore. A lot of my friends feel this way too, and I wonder if this is a reason that people fall away from the church at my age, because the church has stayed the same, and you're gone, and then you come back, and they're like,
"And you've changed.
Who are you?" And I have changed. I'm different than when I left, very different. But I think one of the biggest things we can do to support college kids in the church in America, and every church we should be doing this, is re-get to know us, you know? Approach us. I think we really want connection with people, but we don't want to be viewed as, oh, you've gone off and you've gotten brainwashed, huh? Or, you know, or the little kid that we were when we left, or some weird in-between phase. I guess if you treat us like an adult who just walked into the church, you know, get to know us, ask us out to coffee, go for a walk with us. I want to connect. My friends want to connect. And we want the respect and the care of a fellow person, rather than a young person or a college student, or, again, labels. Like, I think we want connection and we want to be treated like a person.
Yeah. Gosh, and really, in the end, that's what most everyone wants.
Yeah.
Were you brainwashed?
No, I wasn't brainwashed in college.
How can we trust that?
I think
this is important, because she came up with an amazing thing that she said the other day that just capped it right off for me. Listen to this.
Trust me and trust God. At a certain point, you have to trust.
Because hopefully the church writ large has poured energy and effort and resources and love into kids, and they go off to college, and it's only logical then, well, we should worry. That's what parents do. We worry. But we're real good at it. But we should also, it's just logical to trust that God still got you, and we can trust you too, because we've grown to love and trust you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we come back, I don't speak for everyone, but I speak for a lot of people my age, we are excited about what we're doing, and we want to come back and share with you. And I think from a lot of my friends, and we have conversations like this all the time, what we get sometimes is we get back and there's a presumption that we have been deluded, or that we're some weird different person, or I'm studying environmental studies, and I must have gone over to the liberal side, haven't you? And that kind of, even if it's a joke, like that kind of, those presumptions and everything, it shuts down conversation.
I was going to say, that's a conversation stopper.
Yeah, and I think my whole message is engage. We need to engage with the world more and not be afraid. We need to trust God, and we need to engage with our young people, but maybe we don't need to call them young people. Just engage with people in the church, and don't assume we've been taken over or corrupted. Ask us questions. Get to know us again. Let's do stuff. But trust God and engage. I think that's what I want to say most, having gone away to school, and for the church, our church, but also the church at large. Yeah. We need to trust, and we need to engage.
Does that give you hope? Isn't that marvelous? Let's pray. Stretch out a hand, wouldn't you? Let's ask God's blessings. Lord, we give you thanks for Caitlin. We do trust you, and we know and trust her. And Lord, I'm grateful that you've given her this calling to do this in a field and in a place which just must be hard. But we pray that you would empower her and embolden her and fill her with your Holy Spirit and let her know that we're with her. And help us, Lord, to use what she said today to be gracious and open and supportive of college kids. I pray that the church at large would do that so that all of us can work together with you and your purposes for the world, which someday will culminate in a marvelous new creation, a new heavens and a new earth. Until then, we bless you and we bless Caitlin. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.